We feel a disturbance in the Force. A presence we haven't felt since... Welcome to Lore Party, the podcast that explores the stories, characters, and universes of our favorite video games. I'm Jaden.
And I'm Kevin.
And today we are talking about the big episode, episode 3 of Kenobi.
The big one.
The big one. Not the movie that Ian McGregor was in, the big one. The big one is in the episode.
Well, before we get going on it, again, we're going to do some housekeeping. So we love to hear from you guys, as you probably have heard us say before. So send us an email at podcast@loreparty.com with your thoughts and episode ideas. And don't forget, we stream on Twitch weekly. So be sure to follow us on twitch.tv/lore_party. And of course, you can connect with us on Instagram and Twitter @lore_party. Now, like we said, a lot happens in this episode. So, get ready to hang out. As per usual, yep. We are going to have a quick ad break right before we start, so stick around. Go grab some water, some food, whatever you want, and kick back, and we will be right back.
Okay, now that that's done, let's get into this monster of an episode. We are going to pick up instantly right where we left off from episode 2 with Obi-Wan Kenobi and Princess Leia on... the freighter that is automated flying to an unknown destination. Obi-Wan is sitting in the middle of the room, meditating, praying, begging for Qui-Gon. The third time in a row when he's at his most desperate and he feels his most lost, he is praying to speak to Qui-Gon Jinn. And while he's doing this, he's reliving all of his mistakes through the Force with Anakin. And simultaneously, it's almost as if he's connected through the Force. On the other planet of Mustafar, we are seeing Darth Vader getting suited up and getting armored up for battle. And, you know, honestly, I love seeing the transformation of Vader from back to tank to warrior. I think it's so cool to watch them add the... It's like a more menacing Iron Man transformation.
Yes, yes.
Which makes it scarier and cooler somehow. I think this the dread... But this episode really brings back Vader being fucking terrifying.
Yes.
And I love that about him because a lot of people are like, Vader's not scary. He's a guy with a stupid helmet. It's like, yeah, you tell him that to his face, you won't be saying that much longer. Over and over again, we see, you know, he's just so worried because, like, it's almost as if he can hear Vader's breath in the air. Like, he has never met the guy, but he knows, like, you just hear the iconic, like, I don't even want to do it on audio, but... like the raspy breathing, you're like, oh, here we go.
One thing that was really cool too was that when the helmet starts to go down on his face, what he's leaving, we see Obi-Wan's eyes close, and he all of a sudden starts like wincing, and then he opens them up, and we hear the voiceover of Reva from the last episode say, "Anakin Skywalker is alive," and then the helmet just goes down, and it's like. Finally, we hear Vader's breath, and it's really, really cool cinematically, the whole sequence back and forth between the two of them.
Yeah, hit the ground running with that, yeah. Which I'm still hoping that we talked about in episode 0 that we're going to get that flashback. But yeah, so Vader's sitting in his throne room, and he's actually talking with Reva over the hologram. And it's interesting because, you know, she's giving the report and she doesn't say that she killed the Grand Inquisitor. She's like, the Grand Inquisitors, and then and then Vader instantly interrupts her like, the Grand Inquisitor doesn't matter. Like, he's like, I don't care. He means nothing. And I was like, that's interesting because they didn't say he's dead.
Yep.
You know, that language there was very selective. They were not like, he's dead.
And her language is selective too. She says that Obi-Wan will pay for the Grand Inquisitor. And obviously she's lying. And he doesn't give a shit. He just says the Grand.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't care. The Grand Inquisitor means nothing.
Yeah, he's like middle management. I don't care that the intern is messed up. I don't care he broke his leg.
He just wants Kenobi.
Yeah, and Vader even says to her like, "Hey, I've been watching you. All right, I know what you want, and if you can bring me Kenobi, the role of Grand Inquisitor is yours. But if you fail, I will kill you.
Pretty interesting promotion.
It's promotion or death.
So right after this scene, we cut back to Obi-Wan, and he's fixing Leia's little droid friend. I forget, what's the droid's name again?
Lola.
Lola, that's right. And so Leia is kind of impatiently asking if Obi-Wan can use the Force to make the ship go faster, and all these questions. And he gives her the droid, and she's all excited and happy. And he looks at her, and he tells her that the way the Force, he says, that's not really how it works. And she asks him, how does the Force work? What does it feel like? He explains it saying, this is a quote, have you ever been afraid of the dark? How does it feel when you turn on the light? And she says, I feel safe. And then he says back, yes, it feels like that.
I love that description, yeah. But when you see him say it, it's almost as if he's saying it in a longing kind of way. Because when we see him in action, he's not the Jedi he used to be, and he even says that himself.
So after this, the ship finally ends up landing on a planet that is basically Space Arizona. That's what it kind of reminded me of, the whole thing.
It's very appropriately coming later.
Yeah, right? They sneak off this ship. They're hiding from some droids. There's a loading droid and a little R4, R2 unit. And so they sneak off, hiding from these droids. As they're walking around, they find a road. Very exposed, mind you. This is an open field planet, kind of.
It felt to me like one of the video game levels in Jedi Fallen Order. Yeah. It's just like you just see NPCs walking around in the background. You see stormtroopers just like minding their own business.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, they're so out in the open. And while they're walking down this road, Obi-Wan is explaining the planet to Leia. Because obviously, what else are you going to do? And he explains that they are located in a mining system. He's a little bit nervous about the rendezvous point between, you know, where they are now and then getting there. And then also the rendezvous point, like, he's like, he thinks it's a trap.
Yep.
Leia kind of fights back on that. And she ends up asking, you know, why would he lie? Because he says, you know, our friend there, you know, maybe we shouldn't believe him. She goes, why would he lie? And he yells at her, like, he just stops and he yells at her and goes, people are not all good, Leia.
Yeah. But at the same time, you know, he was super sweet to her dad when he was a kid, and like that dad didn't grow up with a good view of the world.
This is one of those, like, you know, I had my first child, I was too nice to it, and I got my second child, and I'm going to be a little bit sterner with them. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
yep.
Mm-hmm. So after he yells at her, he kind of looks at a now disappointed Leia and continues to just talk about the planet, how there were fields and families. And then he says, and then the Empire came in and ravaged it all.
Yep.
Leia doesn't understand, which is very interesting, because she says, but the Empire is supposed to be helping us.
Yeah.
And he rebuttals that, saying, well, there are some like your dad who are trying to, and then he cuts himself off and says, seems like a losing battle these days. So I find that interesting because that discussion means that she doesn't really understand how bad the Empire is. And for her being the daughter of who she is, I'm not talking Anakin, Organa, it's interesting that he hasn't, because she's so smart and very obviously so with it, it's interesting that he has not explained this to her already to kind of distrust Empire people.
Here's the thing. She's 10 years old, first of all, you know. And second of all, you know, she is a senator's daughter who lives on one of the wealthiest core worlds in the Empire.
Correct.
You know, Alderaan is one of the, you know, prettiest and most luxurious planets out there.
Yep.
So, you know, from her perspective, the Empire is just a system of a bureaucracy. You know, she doesn't even know like about this, the bad stuff that's happening because it's not what she's been exposed to as a kid. You know, because she's always like people are good people. I want to help people, you know, like. She looks for the good in people, and I think that's what their focus was, not necessarily on the other aspects of it.
I like that. I like that. So after this little brief conversation, Obi-Wan is then stopped dead in his tracks by a vision of Anakin, looking like Anakin, in a robe, down the road, turning and staring at him, And this vision is pre-burn, pre-Anakin burn. And this Anakin looks pissed. Like, he looks really pissed off.
Hurt. He looks betrayed. His body language is so interesting because it's not open and smiling like you see him at the end of Return of the Jedi. It's him. He's wearing his Jedi robes. The hood is up. His arms are crossed. He looks cold, the way that Sith are.
It is like a death stare into his soul. And
yeah,
he doesn't know what to do. And Leia then just kind of snaps him out of it by being like, Ben. And he's like, oh, and then they could just kind of start continuing on the road right away.
Yep. Meanwhile, while this is all going on, it cuts to Reva. She is landing on what appears to be a water planet, which I love water planets, which we don't know what planet this is. Some people have speculated maybe this is where the Inquisitor set up shop on Kamino.
Yeah.
After the Kamino cloning facility was destroyed, maybe they set up their secret Inquisitor base there, but we don't know. But yeah, so she lands on the planet, and you get to see this cool sequence of her like walking through. You know, you see all the support staff saluting her and stopping for her, and she goes into the room where the two other Inquisitors are like discussing something, and she informs them that she knows where Obi-Wan is. She's, you know, he's on the mining planet.
Well, he's in a system. He's in a mining system.
He's in a system, mining system. Yeah, like she knows the area, and she's like, we need to launch all the probe droids to go find him. Fifth Brother and another Inquisitor tell her that there's no way that she could possibly know this. And then she tries to go like sit down in the big chair that's in the middle of the room, and Fifth Brother just like slams her into the ground or onto the table. And he's like, that chair is not for you. I'm next in line. And it's so cool to see this fighting that they're doing. Like they want power over anything else. And so they're totally fine with being shitty to one another in order to get it. She goes, you know what? Get this though. Darth Vader himself said that I'm in charge. And they're all like, Vader? Vader talked to you? What? Really? It's like, he asked me to lead this hunt. And they're like, oh, well, you know what? It's the Sith equivalent of, okay, cool, good luck. They go, when you fail, we're coming for you.
Because the Fifth Brother says, like, he's pissed. he's yep. going to do what she says.
Oh, the Fifth Brother just goes, I will get what I deserve. And she's like, I hope so.
Yeah, it was interesting to hear her fine with it. She was like, yeah, I hope so. Like, I'm ready to go. Like, it's cool. I like her character a lot more in this episode just based on her actions and, like, she's no bullshit and I'm cool with it. Like her motivation, what got me in this episode was like her motivation is still not given. Like her main motivation for all this has not been portrayed to us yet.
Like why she hates Kenobi so much. Yeah.
But what they're portraying is her drive right now. And that I am here for it. Like it's really good.
It's really awesome. We get to the very end of this whole sequence. They're loading the probe droids to launch them off into the system to go find Obi-Wan. The net is tightening around them as they're trying to escape.
So now we go back to Obi-Wan and Leia, and Obi-Wan is explaining what to do if they come across someone. He says they are farmers from Tol, and Leia is his daughter who doesn't speak. And she says, I can't talk or I don't like to talk. And he goes, you don't talk.
It doesn't even clarify. It's like, no, you just stop. You don't talk. All right.
Just shush. No talking. And they get to the rendezvous point, but nobody's there.
Nobody's there. Which the best part is they're like, give me this the rendezvous point. The rendezvous point's like in the middle of a fucking empty field.
So when they get there, of course, again, nobody's there. So he's pissed and he's kind of bitching about it. And he's like, oh, I knew it. He tells Leia, he says, you know, nobody's going to show up. And then Leia all of a sudden flags down a little transport vehicle that's on the road that's going to pass them. This little yellow, like, space pickup. And Obi-Wan says, it's not safe. But she proceeds to flag them down for a ride to the spaceport. And she keeps saying, no, they'll take us. What if they're nice? And he's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, he's like, shut up.
Yeah. As they're running up, he goes, remember, you don't talk. And she instantly starts talking. She almost slips up by saying, you know, this is my father. She's almost about to say friend. And she tells the exact story that Obi-Wan told her to the driver. He's the exact story.
I want to imagine Obi-Wan, like, when this whole sequence is going on, like, he's feeling the agita, you know, like the anxieties in his chest. And he's like, oh, that's familiar. Yep, that's it. That's her.
He's got those esophageal spasms. He's like, oh God, I can't swallow. Oh no. And so this driver that she's talking to, who's basically a naked mole rat named Freck. Like that. What's really funny about this sequence is it seems almost like Leia and Obi-Wan switched roles because he won't say anything. He's like dead silent. And she has to go, Father, won't you say hello? And
yeah, like
he's like, oh, hello, hi. And then he goes, oh, how'd you guys get over here? And she says, oh, we got lost in the field and all that. And he's like, oh, that's a weird story. Oh, jump on in. And Obi-Wan says, thank you. And we're good. We just need directions. And as soon as that happens, he's like, no, get on. I will take you. And Leia starts arguing with him in front of him and is like, no, Father, get on. And it's a funny scene.
Quit fucking this up. I don't want to walk anymore.
Yeah, my legs are short. Shut up. Let's go. And as soon as they agree to get on, of course, due to Leia, they see the back of the transport because it's a pickup truck pretty much. And they see a flag that is handmade, mind you. It's not like printed. It is a handmade Empire flag. So this guy,
the space pickup truck complete with a Confederate flag on the back.
Yeah, pretty much. So they're speaking to him and he's like asking questions and saying hello and all that.
Freck is the new mascot of the Reddit site Empire Did Nothing Wrong.
Oh, my God. He tells them that he likes the planet they're from. And then he says, oh, I love the Empire. Nothing wrong with a little order. And of course, Leia kind of says the same thing. She's like, oh, yeah, I love the Empire. Yeah. Even she knows, like, this ain't good.
Yeah. So they get on the transport, you know, he's just they're having this whole big speech. And then Freck pulls over and picks up a bunch of stormtroopers who are just on the side of the road. And they're all like, oh, hey, Freck, what's up, man? He's like, oh, hey, guys.
What are you doing out here?
And they're what are you guys doing out here? And they're like, oh, we're just hunting for Jedi.
Yeah. And they go, we're looking for Jedi. We always find them. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, and I was laughing so hard because it's like Obi-Wan has to not look like a Jedi as much as possible. So what does he do? He just puts up his little hood.
It's so ridiculous.
Like, flawless disguise.
Yeah, right, the hood.
This sequence is actually, it was really cool because it was tense. They're sitting across from Jedi, and then they start asking them, like, what's your name and all that stuff.
It was funny is, like, Freck introduces them by the names that they gave, which was Lulu and Ordin. Like, these names are just so, oh, God.
They're so close, too, which is so funny to me. They come up with a story. He's like, you know, they're farmers from Tor, and they're like, oh, well, that's a long way from here. Why are you here? And he's like, I wanted her to see where I met her mom. Yeah, that they'll buy that, right? It's like, what do you... He says that, you know, his wife died and it's been a really rough time.
A very difficult time.
Well, actually, I take it back. He doesn't say his wife, he says her mother died and it's been a very difficult time. And I'm like, oh, that's like, you know, because that's the trick with lying is that he's not telling a lie. He's like, you know, it's the truth. Leia's mom did die and he's not having a good time.
Yeah, and right after that, too, they're talking about how they're looking for Jedi. Have you seen any Jedi? And he says, no, wouldn't know one. And Leia starts trying to almost argue about that.
Yep.
Which is funny because then Obi-Wan
he's like, they know what they're doing, Leia. Wait, I thought her name was Lulu. Why'd you say Leia? And then he looks at the stormtrooper and he just goes, sorry. I thought it was a bad lie at first, but then he covers for himself. He's like, I'm sorry. That's her mother's name. I get confused. And the stormtrooper's like, what? And he goes, sometimes when I look at Luma, I see her mother's face. And it's like, again, he's not lying, but he is.
It's obviously a callback to Padme.
Yes. And it's so awesome.
It's sad.
It's so sad. Like they're doing a really good job of making me just like they were like, we set out to make Obi-Wan look pathetic and they've accomplished it.
Oh yeah, totally.
So they drop the stormtroopers off, you know, after they get away with this. The stormtroopers buy it. They're like, all right, you know, that's true. They're like, I don't want to talk to this old man and his baggage. Okay. Get us off there. Thanks, Freck. So they drop them off. And then we have a really, I don't know if this was like, a callback to like idiot like shippers online or whatever, but they were like, but Leia looks at Obi-Wan and just goes, "Are you my real father?"
Well, she calls him out too.
Yeah.
She says, "You know my real mother. You've known something. You're hiding something from me. And I could tell from the beginning when we first met, you've been hiding something from me. Do you know my real mother?" And he says yes. And then that's exactly when she just turns and asks that question.
Yeah. And it's amazing too, because I love the line he says where he goes, "I wish you were."
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh man. Like, there's no lie in that voice. He's like, man, honestly, it's kind of feels like Obi-Wan's like, how simple it would be if you were just my daughter.
And then what's really sad too is what Obi-Wan then like kind of explains, because he tries to like compare himself to her and like what she's gone through, because she's adopted and she knows it.
Yep.
And he knows she knows it. So he kind of talks about his own like adoption kind of.
Yeah, his induction into the order, you know? And you know, he talks about like too, he has a family out there somewhere. He has a brother. He says, "I think I have a brother," you know?
Yeah, he says he sees like glimpses of his family.
Yes, which is great, because that's a direct callback to what Leia says in episode 6.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get feelings that I know my past.
Yeah, he says he sees like his mother's shawl and like his dad's hands. And then he was like, "Oh, there's a baby. I think I had a brother."
Yeah, I loved all that stuff. I thought it was so cool that this is not just a Leia thing, that this is the Force communicating with you. I just think that's a great way to do that.
So then they stop at an outpost, and first he tells them, he goes, "Oh, this is just a routine thing. Don't worry about it." And they're like, "Ah, shit, not again." And he goes over to the stormtroopers and he's like, "Yeah, I picked up these two and they're a little odd. Like, you should go check them out." And the stormtroopers are like, "Get out." And they're like, "Ah, shit."
Yeah, they're like, "Thanks, Freck. You always know how to help out the Empire."
Yeah, right. And then as soon as they get out, a recon droid shows up. One of the ones that was sent from the Inquisitors. It shows up, all of a sudden just starts analyzing Obi-Wan, and it sees his face and he's like, "Ah, shit." And then as soon as that happens, he shoots the droid. All hell breaks loose. Everybody's running around shooting. And right when you think there's nobody left, Obi-Wan's like, "All right, I've done it." He turns around and a stormtrooper, the last one, is holding Leia at gunpoint. And Obi-Wan is like, "Okay, I'll put the gun down." Like, he kind of, his body language is like, yeah, "Put the gun down." And he goes, "Okay, okay." And boom, he shoots him. The stormtrooper, mind you, not the other way around. He shoots the stormtrooper. And Leia is clearly freaked out and runs right to him. The look on her face, she kind of looks up at him and is like obviously traumatized. You can tell she's even more trusting to what Obi-Wan says after all of this stuff. Like, she's really like, "Okay, I trust this guy. He has saved me multiple times. Like, all right. So they break the laser gate, only for another transport to show up, and they get out. Their stormtroopers are about to like shoot them. Obi-Wan and Leia both get on the ground. They're like, "Ah, crap, we're screwed." And an officer walks out of this transport and then just kills all the stormtroopers and then tells them, you know, all Terminator style, like, "Come with me if you want to live. Let's go. I'll take you to the next spot."
Yep. We go back to the Inquisitor planet, and they're planning on going to the mining world because they, you know, the probe droid sent back the info. And Reva's like, "Oh, well, I'll contact Vader." And Fifth Brother's just like, "Already did." She goes to him like, "You want to take credit for this? Go ahead. We both know who will be by his side when this is over."
I loved that. I loved that. She's like, "I don't care, motherfucker. Say what you want. It doesn't matter.
I'm going to win. This whole thing is a ridiculous measuring contest, and I'm clearly going to win this." Which, again, I love the infighting with the Inquisitors, man. Like, these are the Sith that are without direction, like without a clear. They're little petty children, like squabbling over the little bit of power that they have. You know, Vader could kill them in an instant. We cut back to Obi-Wan and Officer Tala. She's tells them that, like, "Hey, I was supposed to meet you. Sorry, but there was a problem with the probe droids, so I had to go around. That took too long for them to get there. I have a transport and a pilot who's agreed to take you, but it doesn't leave for a couple hours. So we got to go someplace to hide while we wait for that."
So they go to this like camp after that. It's kind of, it's like a small, like, I guess, mining village camp area.
Yep.
And she goes and runs off to this building to make sure everything's all clear. Now Obi-Wan and Leia are just kind of waiting to get the all clear to go in and all that stuff. So while this is happening, there's a little conversation with Leia and Obi-Wan, and she kind of starts crying. I wouldn't say she cries, but she's really upset. And she says that, you know, I didn't mean to run away. I do it all the time. This was just for fun. You know, she didn't mean for people to get hurt, all this stuff. She did not want this to happen. She was just doing her thing that she normally does, to go run around in the woods, you know?
Yeah.
And Obi-Wan says to her that it's not her fault. She misses home, obviously. And he says, we're going to get you home. You're going to get home.
Yep.
They're then rushed into this droid maintenance shop. That's where the officer went to go kind of make sure it was safe. They go into this maintenance droid shop where there's a loading droid, but the droid doesn't speak. Leia says hi and all this other stuff. Of course, Leia already befriends this droid. I mean, that's natural.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I love it because she's like, hi, and it doesn't speak. She's like, well, why not? That's rude.
They say loaders aren't allowed to communicate. She says something really cute. She's like, but what if he has something to say? But the really cool, like, rebuttal that is given is that the officer, Tala, I believe that's the name, she says back to her, she says, actions speak louder than words, which, foreshadowing, you'll find out about that later. But it is a very cool, nice little cute scene about the droids. I like that.
That was kind of cool, yeah. In the workshop, there is actually a little secret Jedi hideaway, which I thought this was cool. They press a button, a little wall drops down, and you see like a little.
Yeah, it's a little safe house.
Little safe house, yeah. And we find out that like this, you know, they're going to get new identities if they stay here. They're going to get everything, you know, moved out. They're not the first people to come through here. They find out that the Empire has been like finding Force-sensitive people and children, and no one knows what happened to them. This part was very interesting to me because like along the walls, there's Arabesh writing on it. Arabesh, for those of you who don't know, that's the language of Star Wars. And like, you know, people like writing messages, you know, of hope for people who come through this safe house.
And this thing is called the Path.
Yeah, they're walking the path is what they're calling it. This was like Easter egg heaven, by the way. I was reading through like all of the, I was doing my Google Translate, like figuring out what everything says. It was so cool. But Obi-Wan draws one for us. He reads one and goes, Quinlan was here. So, you know, it's like the first hope that Obi-Wan's had in a while that some of his friends might be alive. And I love this because like, you know, not everyone died. There's still some Jedi out there who are trying to help. You know, she's even like, oh yeah, he helps us with the younglings. There might be a whole Jedi enclave somewhere out in the Outer Rim. We just don't know about it.
It's sad though, too. They say like nobody knows what happens to the younglings that the Empire takes. Like nobody knows.
Yeah.
That's obviously sad. Like that's obviously a sad situation. But then it gets even sadder because after all this like hope and happiness that happens, Obi-Wan just kind of like realizes, wait, they're all still fighting, doing the good stuff when he basically practically gave up.
Well, he didn't. He took the one mission he was given seriously, like super duper uber seriously. Maybe a little too seriously.
Yeah, but here's the thing. When another Jedi shows up, he gets kind of, you know, like, shut up, where you lost, go away. Like, I don't know, man.
Can I tell you what I think? Here's what I think. I think that Obi-Wan used the mission he was given by Yoda as an excuse to give up on the galaxy.
Ooh.
He used the mission that he was given as like I can't do anything more. My job is to protect the boy. And we see that in episode one. But now you're realizing like he literally gave up on the galaxy. He was like, nope, my mission is the boy and that's it. But he's using that to like hide from his failure. He's broken. I don't think we'll ever know what he's thinking in his head. Among all the other drawings as well, Leia picks out one and asks what the engraving says. Obi-Wan reads and says, only when the eyes are closed can you truly see. And she says, what? And he says, the way.
Now that I thought was cool.
That was very cool.
So all of a sudden, a group of stormtroopers, they show up and they're searching the area. And apparently, quote, a Jedi was seen entering this camp. They go into the droid maintenance shop and they start questioning the droid who can't answer. So that's hilarious. And when they leave, they say like, you know, oh, those loader droid, he doesn't understand. But clearly, the loader droid does understand because it's holding a giant hammer behind its back just in case he needs to fight some stormtroopers. It's cool because it shows that the loaders, this is a little tidbit thing, but it's really cool because it shows that the loader droids really do know what's going on. They just can't communicate back. That blew my fucking mind because Leia was right. And that was like, holy
shit. She's 100% right.
It was something that, like, if you didn't really think about it, you'd be like, whoa, actions speak louder than words. That droid was going to be awesome. And it's like, guess what? That droid really understands what the fuck is going on.
Yep. By the way, that droid, I don't think we've seen the last of that droid, by the way. I think he's going to show up next episode, and I'll explain why at the end.
So clearly they have been compromised, and they decide to move up their timeline. The officer, again, I think her name is Tall Tale Tall. She is getting everything ready. She's changing out of her outfit and everything, and she puts her gun on the other side that most people don't use. And Leia's kind of watching her do this stuff, and she's like, oh, I put it on this side for a faster draw. And then Leia's like, oh, can you teach me how to shoot? Which I thought was really cool, because clearly Leia's a pretty decent shot in episode 4.
Yeah, she can hit that stormtrooper with her eyes closed.
But as she's getting ready, she's explaining to Obi-Wan that she signed up for the Empire when it used to stand for something. But then she realized that it really didn't stand for what she thought. And then she says, oh, she's made mistakes. And Obi-Wan says, well, we all did. And she looks at him and she goes, I can't imagine Obi-Wan making any mistakes. And he literally looks at her and just goes, it's Ben now. And like, oh, God, he's just like, yeah, I made a fuck ton of mistakes.
I made a mistake so bad, I changed my name.
Yeah, it was pretty, ugh. Now, this is when the episode, I would say this is the climax. This is going to get very exciting. Obviously, you guys just want to hear us talk about this part, because this is one of the coolest parts of the whole episode.
She opens up the door that leads to a narrow hallway. And she's like, all right, we can go out this way. And then Obi-Wan suddenly stops at his tracks. His face looks like the world has been shattered. He senses just like this massive disturbance in the Force. He runs and he looks and he sees the normal stormtroopers and he sees the Inquisitors. And he's like, that's not what's bothering me. And then we hear Vader's breathing. And he walks onto the street. And oh my God, it's just like, it's the start of horrible, horrible things. Kenobi's immediately like, you need to go, Leia. Like, get her out of here. She needs to go. Nobody's moving. Like, Vader's just standing there. Like, we don't know if he senses him. Clearly, Vader believes he's there. And this is just when the chaos starts. And it makes me remember how scary Vader is.
It's so good because he's walking down the street. And then you hear music. You hear him breathing. You hear everything. And then all of a sudden, when Vader stops, everything stops. The sound, the music, everything. It just gets dead silent. And all you start to hear is just like his breathing. And that's it. And Vader instantly, as soon as that happens, he gives it like maybe five seconds of silence. And Vader instantly picks up a man with the Force out of the window of his home, starts Force choking him to death. The son walks out and is like, oh my God. And he's trying to stop Vader. Vader instantly throws him down, breaks his neck. And then the mother just kind of runs out and is like, she doesn't know what to do. It's like, he just brutally murders a family. Obi-Wan instantly turns and tells Leia that she needs to go, instructs them to leave. He's going to draw them away. He's like, GTFO, GTFO.
Yep. It's over.
We cut back. Vader's dragging a woman with the Force just down the street. She's screaming and he's dragging her with like an invisible rope around her neck. And she's like gag screaming. And he moves some blocks out of the way and he finds a couple that like blocks. They're like containers, like shipping containers, or whatever.
Yeah. Crates.
Crates. And there's like a couple that's just like sitting there
huddled and crying.
Oh yeah. Everybody's like cowering. It's like terrifying. Obi-Wan runs outside out of like, I guess a back door or something. And he hides behind a building and he's like watching Vader as he does this. And just as Vader is about to kill the couple, he like stops what he's doing and he turns his head, just his head, which was really freaking creepy.
Yep.
Really freaking creepy. And he turns his head and the couple, they don't move. They're like, oh shit. He turns his head and he looks right at the building where Obi-Wan is. And now he's not there. Obi-Wan just disappeared.
Yep.
That's the Vader like shot for the whole thing. And then Reva's about to like walk out and do shit. And the fifth brother's like, we don't interfere. We are just here to search the town and do reconnaissance. Do not forget that. And she's like, whatever, dude.
We'll search the town. Exactly. We cut to Obi-Wan. He's running the outskirts of the town. You know, we think we're going to get like the typical like, you know, Vader versus Obi-Wan shot where he's like, you know, got his blade. He's got his lightsaber in hand, but it's not lit. Vader shows up and opens his blade up, and Obi-Wan just fucking runs away.
We get the typical, like, Skywalker lightsaber draw. Like, every single, like, when we see Luke, when we see also, like, it's that hand and then the lightsaber, and that's what we see. And we see Obi-Wan just being like, oh, shit. But Obi-Wan pulls out his lightsaber, and he chicken shits out and runs away.
And so Vader, you know, Vader's teasing him, you know, you can't run, I'm going to find you. Finally, Obi-Wan ignites his lightsaber blade, and he's trying to, like, illuminate the scene, but he can't see anything. He turns, and Vader steps into the light. Obi-Wan just goes, what have you become? Faced with the power of his former master, or his former apprentice, she's like, what, this monster that before him? And he just goes, simply, I am what you made me.
Oh, man.
God.
That's a pretty sad line to think about.
Yeah.
For Obi-Wan to hear. You made me into this thing that I am. Yeah.
Monster.
And then it all of a sudden, it cuts. And we see stormtroopers and inquisitors, and they're raiding the whole block. And Reva notices the shop that they were hiding in earlier. And we cut, and Leia is running, and she says she can make it on her own. We go back to Reva, and Reva's kind of examining the shop where they're at. It's the whole, this whole sequence, we're going back and forth between the three groups, is great because it just builds so much tension. Yep.
Absolutely. We see Obi-Wan, I gotta paint the scene for you. He's sneaking around like a little kid, like trying to escape. It's really funny. He's just like dun 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 dun, like Benny Hill music playing. Yeah, I love that. Like he's just trying to sneak through, and Vader just whips out the lightsaber and starts attacking him. And Obi-Wan can barely defend himself, just barely, you know, barely protect himself from Vader. And Vader just goes, "The years have made you weak." You got to remember, like, this is Vader, cyborg Vader in his prime, and this is Obi-Wan not having even picked up a lightsaber in 10 years.
He looks terrified.
And that's the thing, is that the fear is overwhelming him. It is destroying him. Jedi shouldn't give in to fear. Well, Obi-Wan has completely given into his fear in this scene.
He can barely stand. The smashing down of Vader's lightsaber onto his lightsaber, you can see the weight of that red blade hitting his blue one, and it's like, boom, boom, boom. And just Obi-Wan is just like, I can't fucking do this. Like, I am getting my shit rocked.
If I don't come up with something clever now, I'm going to die.
So right after this, we cut right back to the tunnel, and Leia says, just go. She's informed that, okay, a pilot's going to meet me at the end of this tunnel. That's going to be the port, and I'll get on that ship. Leia looks back and is like, bring Obi-Wan back. Like, she turns and is like, make sure you bring him back.
Yep. Vader is kicking Obi-Wan's butt even more than he was before. He uses the Force, which is awesome, because he's actually using it, like, in his combat, whereas Obi-Wan's just kind of trying to, like, escape. His stances aren't even good. He's just, using a lightsaber. Like, people complain about, like, baseball bat fighting in Star Wars. That's what it looks like when someone doesn't train in forever, man.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
It's so cool because he's just trying to hold on. That's all he's doing right now. And Vader, I love it. Vader is like, you should have killed me when you have the when you had the chance. I loved that. I'm going to end you now. I finally got you. I'm gonna end you. Luckily for Obi-Wan, though, he finds a gas tube. He cracks it, and he escaped in the smoke. People are complaining, too. They're like, Vader's letting, you know, lets people get away too easy. It's like, I think Vader's having fun.
He is. He's toying with it. He's relishing the moment. Like, come on. He's a freaking dark side user. He's having
fun. He has been looking forward to murdering Kenobi for as far back as he can remember.
It is a decade since he's, like, become a dark side user. And the thing that's been driving him is his hatred for Obi-Wan. That is what has been driving him this entire time. That's why he is alive, because his hatred kept him alive on Mustafar. So clearly, he's having some fun.
100%.
So now we cut back and we go and see Reva, who has now found the safe room. She's reading all the carvings, and she then sees a Jedi symbol. They do this really cool close-up of, like, the kind of, like, Jedi Order symbol. And we then cut, all of a sudden, Leia's running through the tunnel, and then we see Reva find the door that opens the other door to the tunnel. So clearly, shit's getting intense. Is Reva gonna find Leia? I don't know. You tell me.
And, you know, it's very clear, like, the gears are working in her head.
Yep.
Now let's cut back to Obi-Wan. Vader is force-choking him.
Picks him up.
Like, he just picks him up off the ground. the fact that Obi-Wan no longer has access to the Force, or like doesn't have like the same level of access that he did, means that he has no right standing up to Vader. There's been a lot of speculation too that like the reason that Jedi don't you typically like force attack each other as much when they're in direct combat is because they know that the other person also knows how to use the Force and can just simply, you know, negate it. It's, you know, it's wasted effort for them to try to do that. But Vader, I think, sees that how weak Obi-Wan is and is like, he can't even stop me. Like, this is incredible. Like, he's so far gone from the Jedi that he was. I can just stop him without a thought.
Oh, it's great.
And it's honestly an incredible realization. Obi-Wan is, you know, he's hanging in the air. And Vader sees a box of what looks like mining crystals.
Yeah, it was like a mining cache of something.
Yeah, it's something. And Vader knocks them over, right? And then he sets them on fire with his lightsaber. And he says, "Now you will suffer, Obi-Wan." And he throws Obi-Wan to the ground and then drags Obi-Wan into the fire to let him burn the way he burned on Mustafar. And he says, "Your pain has only just begun." Meanwhile, stormtroopers are showing up too. So this looks like the end. Like, this looks like it's it for Obi-Wan. Some people said this, and I kind of agree, where it's like, when I saw this, I was like, oh no, what's going to happen to Obi-Wan? And then I remembered, wait, I know what happens to Obi-Wan. I've seen all the other movies.
Yeah, right?
Like,
yeah.
So the stormtroopers show up. Vader, like, he puts the fire out. You know, he drops it a little bit. He's like, you know, just bring him to me. You know, the torture is going to start. He gets out his special, you know, he's going to get a special torture tools when he gets home. He can't wait. Luckily for Obi-Wan, though, like, the only thing that saves him is that Tala is waiting up on the hill with a blaster, and she reignites the flame.
Yeah, she shoots that stormtrooper, too. She, like, one-shots a stormtrooper. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
that's a good shot.
Yeah, thank God that she's up there, because he would have been screwed.
Oh, yeah.
The loading droid is there, picks up Obi-Wan, and Vader just kind of lets him go, which, again, a lot of people are like, why does he just walk through the flames? I think it's two reasons. One, I think that Vader enjoys the chase. He enjoys getting to go after Obi-Wan. It gives him purpose.
Yeah.
You know, it gives him something to strive to capture and torture as many times as he can, you know?
Oh, totally.
There's theories that Vader might also be afraid of fire.
Ooh.
He might still be messed up from Mustafar, which is why he built his castle on Mustafar. Fear drives a Sith Lord. So being on the place that caused him the most pain might be what fuels him. So when he sees fire, it might just be one of those things where it's like he's afraid of it, but it's also giving him more power at the same time.
That's fucking cool. I didn't think of it. So he's like, right? The Hound.
Yeah, essentially. But except that he's not gonna cower at the fire. He's just kind of like, oh, this is scary. Kid show. Dragged a man into the fire, set him on fire.
Speaking of kids, we see the Inquisitors, and they're obviously pissed that Obi-Wan has now escaped. Obi-Wan's burned. He's unable to move. He's got burns on his shoulder, and it's like, oh, shit. And Tal, you know, she's got him. But speaking of kids, Leia is still running through these tunnels. These tunnels are long, man. She is really going. And she gets to the end, and she goes, are you the one that I was supposed to find, that I'm supposed to see? And Reva is there and says, no, I'm sorry, they weren't able to make it. But I'll be here, and I'll take you. And then it cuts, and we pan out, and we see Reva standing there looking at Leia through the doorway, and the dead pilot is behind Reva. And then fade to black.
And that's where it leaves it on. So much freaking happened, and it
so
was great.
So much.
Thank you guys so much for listening to that. So we're going to take a quick break from our sponsors, let you guys go to the bathroom. We're going to hear from our ad break sponsors, and then we'll be right back to do our reactions and talk about some of the little fun tidbits that we saw in this episode. Stick around. All right, guys, we are back. That was the recap for Kenobi. I know it was longer than we had hoped, but it was, I think, well worth it. And now we get to talk about our reactions. So, Kevin, what did you think of this episode of Kenobi?
Holy shit.
Correct. That is the only correct answer. I will take nothing else.
Yeah. All right. There you go. All right. End of the episode. See you guys later.
And yeah,
have a good one. Thanks for listening. We'll wrap that around. Wraps it up. You know, it was great, man. This episode had so much. So, again, cinematically, that's how I start. I loved it. I thought shots were great. CG, whatever. You know, we've already talked about that. But I think the dialogue in this was way better than the other two episodes. the dialogue that was written, like we quoted stuff in this episode. We didn't really quote many things in the last two. We quoted things in this episode because these things were written really well, and obviously they mattered, and they brought little Easter egg tidbits or little bites of story and of how those people were thinking at that time really, really well. I think the writing in this episode, boom, way up there compared to the other two. Honestly, for Star Wars, it's really good writing. Because some of the, let's be real here, some of the Star Wars
stuff.
That's
high praise.
Yeah, hey, you know, some of the Star Wars stuff, it's a little Shakespearean, operatic, but like kind of corny, you know? But this writing dialogue was really fucking good. When it comes to Obi-Wan being broken, here's a couple things. He is now called on Qui-Gon in the beginning of almost every single episode so far. Obviously, yep. We have three episodes. I'm going to say this. I think he's going to fucking show up at the end. I think we're going to see him. I'm hoping, but I mean, why else would we like have him like reaching out into the Force? You know what I mean?
I think so. Yeah, no, I think we're going to get a Liam Neeson cameo in the near future, if not the next episode. I'll tell you what, dude, if we do not get Clone Wars flashbacks in the next episode, I'm going to be very upset. I'm going to be very sad.
I kind of would agree with that.
At least just one.
Yeah. But obviously, the big thing we want to talk about here is the Vader fight sequence. For me, I thought it was really cool. I will say, I am one of those people. When I was a kid, I wasn't too terrified of Darth Vader. I was like, he's not that scary. That doesn't look that scary. He was really kind of freaky in this episode.
He was awesome. Yep.
And don't get me wrong, they take artistic liberties and make him have emotional kind of eyes and that kind of stuff in the comic books. This still felt like that. I mean, he didn't hesitate. Snaps a kid's neck, grabs a guy, grabs a woman. He's like throwing people around. He doesn't give a shit.
Which again, if we look at like Legends, the way that the Sith are described as using the Force, Sith revel in getting pain. Like they thrive on feeling the pain that they can inflict on another person.
Totally.
And, you know, so, like, there's a reason that he kills the son and the father and doesn't kill the daughter, because she just had to watch two of her family members. Like killing two people is dark enough, but now the third person is there to cry over their dead family that they can do nothing about. And that gives him just like a mega, like a boost. It's like he was shooting up some Sith steroids before the big game.
I thought that was really cool. And then, of course, the actual fight sequence, seeing the way Vader has to fight differently, because, you know, he's been getting used to his suit. It's taken 10 years, but he had to relearn how to fight. He had to relearn how to use a lightsaber because he doesn't have limbs, man. Like, the suit is very heavy. It's claustrophobic. It's encumbering. There's all this stuff. So his fighting style is different. So we see how he's fighting.
Yeah, because before Anakin's fighting style, he was very loose and fluid and, you know, jumping, kick, flying. Vader's just a fucking tank. Which is why, like, you see him when he's fighting Obi-Wan, like, he's only using one hand. One hand is only knees. He's got them hydraulics in there, baby. He's dropping that force with the power of three Vaders, probably.
But yeah, so the fighting sequence was cool. It was really cool to see the different fighting styles and how Obi-Wan was just weak as shit. The fear, the whole cowering thing, like, I thought that was really cool. And it really hit home to Obi-Wan's, like, psyche. And it was great for him to be like, this is what I've done. Oh my God, this is my failure.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to say this right now. Legends fans, we eating good tonight. I watched this episode, man. And I was doing my little sleuthing. I helped the internet. It was a great resource with this, helping people like figure out some stuff. And Quinlan Vos being, you know, just like them outright saying that he's around. That's, oh my gosh. And the implication of maybe having Jedi enclaves out there with the younglings, maybe there's, you know, they're being trained. We don't know. I just love the idea that there's so much more, you know, this is such an interesting, even before when Disney took over, like I've always thought that this was the most interesting era of Star Wars. Just this, the Empire is asserting its dominance, asserting its control, and we get to witness that control being manifested. And I love that idea. I loved seeing Vader's return to form. I love seeing him acting as evil as he possibly can be. I'm hoping we'll get a Vader spinoff. I would love to see Vader doing like Vader Down. As I said in a previous podcast, Vader Down would be an amazing way to, you know, reintroduce Vader as a scary character.
That'd be sick.
On the topic of this episode, I said before, I think maybe the loading droid might be saving Leia.
Oh, okay. I didn't think about that. Well, the loading droid did drag Obi-Wan out of the fire and pick him up and take him.
So, but what I'm thinking is maybe the loading droid loads Obi-Wan up on whatever, you know, like a transport or whatever. And then like Reva's like going to come out of the tunnel with Leia and loading droid's going to hit her over the head with that hammer that we saw like expertly hidden behind his back or whatever.
Oh, that'd be really cool. I'd be into that. That'd be cool. I would say overall, I think we both really loved this episode.
Yeah, I think that's the Cliff Notes version of it, that we really did enjoy this. And prediction for episode 4, I think we're either going to get a flashback to the Clone Wars, or we're going to get the Ahsoka discussion. I'm really hoping we'll get the Ahsoka discussion.
Yeah.
I think that would be really, really, really cool and like a really neat way of tying everything together. That would be my, if I could write a Christmas wish list, that would be number one on it, I think.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's called Obi-Wan, but like, I just want more Vader, man.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I do think we're gonna get it.
Yeah, I really do. I think there's got to be more Vader. I'm surprised they introduced this fight like so early, which is cool. Like, I love it. Obviously, there's only 6 episodes, but so early to have a Vader, you know, Obi-Wan fight, like, that's awesome. I hope it ends with a fight from them, because
I think we will see this was round one. I think we're going to see a round two where Obi-Wan has like reaccepted the Force as his ally.
Well, that about wraps it up. We hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did like it, please take a second to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us grow the show. And be sure to connect with us on Twitch, Instagram, and Twitter at lore_party. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll catch you next time.
Ta-ta.